Who has been the most important person in your life? Can you tell me about him or her?
I think the most important person in my life has been my husband, and we've only been married 5 years, but he's made such a drastic difference in my life and so much better. He's my rib. He really is my better half, and I believe I'm his better half, and it's the kind of love that I hope my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren get to experience. And I know not everybody will, but I pray and I hope that they do, because he really is my best friend and my partner in life and everything.
What was the happiest moment of your life?
I think the day I became a mother is the happiest moment in my life. I always said I wouldn't have children. I said I didn't like children. I don't like bratty children. So we work really hard to make sure our kids grow up good and just are grounded and kind-natured. So when I became it wasn't until the baby was born and Abigail was in my arms and I realized that I grew that in my womb, in my body, and
You
I
made a
made that.
baby. You made a human
I
being.
made a human being. It really is something that people say. You'll know. It's really difficult to explain, and it really is. You just know, and it is one of the best memories I have in my life.
I remember my really good friend Morgan always said, like, oh, well, this happened about 17 years ago, and I was busy making a human. She
Right.
points to her belly. She goes, I was busy making a human,
Yeah.
and like. As soon as she says it, you just like get the gravity of the
It's
situation.
pretty incredible, especially just knowing it, and you see them, and you see, like, in an ultrasound, you see just a little shape, but you don't really know what it is, and you say, oh, I love it, but you don't really know what you're saying until you have that child in your arms.
What was the saddest moment of your life?
Saddest moment. I think it's just not really a moment, but just a sad part of my life is. I come from the word is broken home, divorced parents, but I have an amazing stepdad. And the only time I refer to him as a stepdad is when I want to tell people I have two dads. I have a biological father and my dad, my stepdad. But I do feel like I missed out, and I don't know what it's like to grow up with my mom and my dad together. And that makes me work harder in my marriage and my life to make sure that my children grow up a little different than I did. But the saddest part is not really knowing my dad. I am a reflection of him in this world, and it's just sad that I don't know a lot about him. So I think that's the saddest part, my father.
I relate with you on that one very deeply. Yeah, I want to honor that for a second. I think it's a huge challenge. Okay, so I had the honor of getting to see you with your children. And A, I want to go back to how you were talking about how you were saying, like, I didn't want to have children, but you know what? I didn't want to have bratty children. Your children are so fantastic.
Thank you.
You know what? Like, I don't think I actually feel the same way, and I guess I never really have distilled it to that. But I got to hang out with your kids while you were working, and you were shooting like in the location of photography, and I was hanging out with your kids, and they were fun. They were actually fun. I mean, like, that's like unusual, and I think that you are doing exactly what you set out to do.
Thank you.
And when I saw you and your husband at my exhibition, I felt the connection between the two of you. It was remarkable.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that. That's something I really absorbed. Okay, let's do this one. This one's a good one. What is your earliest memory?
Earliest memory. Oddly enough, it's about my father, and it's the moment I recall knowing that he left, and it's in Mexico, and I'm little. I must be like 3 years old. And I remember him coming up to me and saying, I have to go to work. You'll be fine with your mama. And I remember me yelling, "Please don't go, please don't go," and running around our tiny little stucco cottage, yelling, "Please don't go, please don't go." And I spent the rest of my life waiting for him to come back. And that's one of the memories that I have, like the first things I can think of remembering. It's one of my earliest.
My earliest memory is also at 3 when my parents separated and my mom left my father. And my memory, I don't have memories between 3 and 13 at all because of the trauma of the divorce. But my memory is, and I know this is about you, but I want you to feel more comfortable because I relate to you very much. I was the youngest of 3 children, and my mom was packing up the car, and I knew that she was moving quickly and had no time to really watch me. So she put me on the sidewalk leading to the driveway, and she gave me a coconut, and she said, "Figure out how to open it." And that was my task to occupy me while she moved all of our belongings out of the house,
Wow.
and she left my father. And that's the first and pretty much only memory I have from 3 to 13. And it's traumatic. It is a traumatic
It
experience
is.
watching your parents divorce. And I did not, he was not around. So I get it. What are you proudest of? What are you most proud of?
I don't know. I mean, I don't myself, and not in a look at me, I'm so good at anything, but I try really hard to be good. I think about everything and anything that I do and how it'll affect people, how it'll affect me and my legacy, my children's legacy, my husband's, my family. So I like to be honest, even if I make a mistake, I like to be humble enough to say I made a mistake and I'm sorry and what are my consequences? I'm willing to accept them and how can I better myself, etc. So I pride myself on trying to be really honest in anything and everything that I do. So I'm really proud of that because I work daily and in the most tiniest of things, the most mundane, I try to be good to the most intricate, complex situations.
How would you like to be remembered?
I don't know. I guess goodness. I don't know. I guess just goodness. By my thoughts. I love philosophy. That's what I studied in college. I love to write. I love to photograph. I love being creative. So, in anything that I do, I like to tell a story and tell you my opinions and thoughts without telling you verbatim exactly, no, you are wrong and this is why. I just like to talk and to tell and to write. So, I love writing poetry. I love taking pictures. I love writing stories. I think all of that in general goes together, and I like to leave a little piece of me. So I'd like to be remembered for who I am, I guess, and the tangible things I leave behind.
What are the most important lessons you've learned in life?
I think I would say the most important lessons I've learned are we people, we suck sometimes, but we're really good sometimes. And it's all about human interaction and just getting to know each other and just taking 1 second to learn about someone else can make a whole lot of difference as to why they believe something, why they behaved a certain way, why they did something, why they said something. And if you disagree with something or you're offended or for example, in a marriage, if you're fighting with your husband, you could just leave it on the surface and be mad if he tells you something or vice versa. But if you're just human enough and just stop for a moment and just say, you know what, you hurt my feelings, you may open up their viewpoint and they can see that they did something wrong if you point it out without being snarky about it and say, you know, you insulted me, instead you hurt me, and this, you know, your actions or your words, they hurt me. And it can work not just in marriage, but I apply it in my family, with my parents, with my siblings, in my work, and in anything, just talk and communication, which is, I think, sometimes people don't do anymore.
If this was to be our very last conversation, is there anything you'd want me to know?
I want to do good. And I know I keep saying that, but I really do feel my purpose in life is to do something really good, and I'm not there yet. So I know it's just a matter of time. I do feel like I have the ability to change the world, and then it can be in the most minute way, from changing somebody's just perspective on something to making a big difference on a large level. I really do feel like I'm poised for something, and a lot of the experiences in my life, I feel like they're gonna lead me to like a defining moment, whether it be very personal or very public.
Well, let's start with this. Is there anything that you think you want to talk about?
I think I became an American citizen, legally, 2 years ago, I think. So before that, I was a permanent resident, meaning I had a alien card, as it's called, an identification card. And before that, I was just, I guess, an illegal immigrant for the better half of my life, I suppose. But I grew up as an American. I mean, I don't know anything different. I've been an American my whole life. It's what it feels like. And I feel like I can make a difference in terms of helping people realize what it is that people want when they say, I want to be an American, or I am an American, and they have no legal documentation to be here. And it's odd. Sometimes I'll talk with my husband and I'll say, people don't understand us. If we're talking, for example, like on an immigration issue, and he'll say, but you're an American now. And I tell him, well, I still feel like I'm fighting with everyone else. But I do have a very different viewpoint on the fight. It's just a very personal issue for me in that case. And I wanted to go to law school and I wanted to be an attorney, but I never actually followed through after applying, and I just never made the decision to go through with it and attend and register and, you know, take out a loan and, you know, go to school and pay and then become an attorney. But I really would like to make a difference, and I feel like this might be the thing that's calling me, but I'm hesitant to actually follow through, whether it be for fear or ignorance.
How do you mean ignorance?
I'm caught up in being a mother. In trying just, you know, to do the little things that I may not be looking at the big picture. But I it's something that I think about daily. I would like to make a difference in the immigration issues, for example.
How would you want to make a difference? If you could, let's just say that you are a lawyer, what exactly would be your goal? Like, what do you think an ideal kind of path would be? Could you paint a picture of it?
I think I realized that I don't necessarily need to be an attorney to make a difference, but I'd like to educate society and our people, my neighbors, the Americans and the Mexicans, the people who are documented and the ones who aren't documented. I think I think we need a voice, and I say we because I still feel part of.
So when you say we, you're talking from the perspective of somebody who is an immigrant here.
Yes.
Undocumented.
Undocumented, yes. It's a very personal issue, obviously, because I was undocumented at one point, and now I am an American citizen, and I'm very proud of it. And it took me a long time, and it took my mom, my parents a long time to make it happen, but we worked and we prayed and we tried to do it the best way we could, and we, you know, it's an accomplishment, and it's a pretty neat one, if you ask me. So my mother just became an American citizen a few weeks ago, and
congratulations.
Thank you. And you know, she was very excited, and I helped her, you know, studying civics and government, and just realizing that things that come so easy to me, I love American history, didn't come so easy to her, but the eagerness that she had of I want to learn, and tell me, oh, George Washington was the first president, and the fact that she could identify that and she was so excited about it. It's very neat to see, because I took my education for granted, to in a certain way. I didn't realize not everybody knows George Washington is the first president. Not everybody knows what the Civil War was about. Not everybody knows American history the way I know it. And it's just neat to see that. And
so, could I ask you a question? What is the I'm ignorant to this. Speaking of ignorance, what is the process if you are undocumented and you? I've heard a couple stories about, like, if you're undocumented and you make it to the United States side and you're detained, they will often put someone on a bus to go live with relatives somewhere else in the country. But it doesn't sound like that's what you did. It sounded like that you moved to this Texas part of the Rio Grande Valley, and then you went through a process that led to permanent residency. What is that process?
Let's see.
Is it complicated?
It's a little complicated, and it's easier when you do it with an attorney. And when my parents started the process to make it legal, I was in high school, if I'm not mistaken, or almost right after high school, and they decided to do it with an attorney. So obviously that worked a little faster. An attorney knows what mistakes not to make with applications.
Got
and
it.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's expensive to a certain extent, because it just required you to prioritize. Do you want to buy your children the new PlayStation for Christmas, and games and rollerblades, or do you want to, you know, put that money towards their immigration papers and things like that? So when my parents finally, you know, decided to do that, they put the money towards that. And I was very lucky that the process took very quickly to be approved. My interview, it was just very easy, and you know, it was just getting to know me and approved there on the spot. And then I got my green card, as they call it, which, by the way, it's not green. Then later on, you just have to wait 5 years to apply for citizenship, and you have to pass a personal interview. You have to learn English, which obviously I knew growing up in school here. You have to be able to learn and to read and write in English, and then answer a civics test.
Yes, I recall that. So, when did you move here? How old were you when you moved to Texas?
I believe I was either right under 5 or right at 5.
So you went to the public school system
here?
Yes,
so I started kindergarten here for a few months. I learned English very quickly, and then I started school here. I graduated high school, went to college, graduated college.
I had another question I wanted to ask you, and it slipped my mind.
My mother and I came with a passport. So I was very little. My mom had a passport for me, and we would cross over, come to the United States, I think they're in the Brownsville area, do some window shopping or et cetera. And then it wasn't until she met my stepdad, who is an American. I don't know exactly what he did, but he worked with the maquiladoras, in Mexico, and my mom was an employee at a working on some automotive part, and my dad was one of the supervisors, and they met, and it was a fairy tale. The only difference was he lived in America and she lived in Mexico.
When they married, that didn't get her citizenship?
Well, they didn't marry immediately.
I see.
My grandmother at that time kind of kicked my mom and I out of where we were living with her, out of her house. And my dad happened to be there, well, my stepdad happened to be there and said, you know what, grab your baby, pack your bags, let's go. You're coming with me. And that's how I came to America.
Wow.
So I, you know, we crossed with the passport, but, my mom did have another baby at that time, which was my little brother, and he was under a year old. He was an infant. So he didn't have a passport, so they just, back then, the crossing at the border was, you know, just not so strict. I don't remember what happened, but he just crossed over the bridge easily in the car with us. And we never went back. So he knows nothing else like me. I have vague memories of Mexico. Very vague, very little, you know, running in the streets,
little. So your brother snippets. Can't go back. He can't cross. He can't leave the country.
If he leaves, he can't come back.
Right.
So, yeah. So he is the only one of my mom and myself who is not an American citizen yet, but he's very much an American by heart. He knows.
Yeah. If he has the same education as you.
Yes. He is college educated. He is currently working as a something to do with neurosurgery technician. So he wanted to be a doctor, but you can't go to medical school without being a resident or an American citizen. So he had to, you know, switch gears and do something else. So he monitors during brain surgeries. He monitors brain activity as a technician. So he has a really cool, fancy job. And I'm very proud of him. Very, very proud of him. And I'm sorry, but it's just, he deserves everything I have. I'm so sorry, Jackie. It's just, I know I have three brothers, and the other two, I love them to death, but they're just not as hardworking and motivated as my brother. And, you know, to know that it took him a long time to be able to get a driver's license legally, you know, he had to give up on being a doctor because, you know, he just couldn't. The fact that he says, I don't really want a stable relationship with the young woman because what if I get married and have children and then I have to leave them? So, you know, what if I can't provide for them? So, just, I want the best for him. And I love him so much. And I'm very proud of him because there was a time when I just sat down and I said, you can't just give up on your dreams just because, just because the law says you can't do this doesn't mean that you can still try to figure out a way to do things, and you can't just slack off. You can't be a non-productive member of society just because society says you can't. Like, you have to show that this is what you are and that this is what you want, and this is what you want. You have to do it. And I'm very proud of him for getting out of a mentality of, why should I even, you know, try to further my education? Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't have gone to college. Maybe mom and dad shouldn't have paid for it. You know, it's just a waste. And now that he's done something good, I'm very proud of him. When he, the dreamer stuff passed, it was like an answered prayer, because all my brother ever wanted to do and wants to do is be a productive member of society. We grew up being raised, you know, you work hard and you don't have the option of just being a slacker. You don't have the option of taking a handout. You have to earn it. You have to work hard for it. And he embodies that. and I'm very proud of him, and I love him very much. And I just saw him recently, and he's living in Ohio, and he's working, you know, great, and he's getting to experience all these things that he always feared that he wouldn't get to experience. And I just told him, you know what, you just have to live your life and start it, and you just have to be hopeful, and you do live in a great country that will realize what an asset you are, whether it's sooner or whether it's later, but you will make a difference. And I'm glad that he lives by that daily, and he does good, and I'm very proud of him. I'm sorry.
Okay. Real quick, just want to check. Do you have to go?
No, I'm
fine. Okay. One last question, and this is something that I wonder. So, if you get pulled over, because there was a, I think it's Section 8, Bill Section 8, or Section 4, that was just recently passed that will take effect in September, which is like essentially show me your papers law. If you got pulled over, is there a possibility you would get pulled over in a car and then be harassed?
Here. Me, myself?
Yeah, you.
I don't think so. Unless maybe I encountered somebody very aggressive, which I don't foresee somebody with that type of personality making this place their home in the first place. But I don't think so. And if it was, I want to say I'm not afraid, because if that's what I have to encounter, then I'm strong enough and that's what I will encounter. I live in a society with rules and regulations, and in that context, I have decided to follow them. If I don't like the law, then I need to do something to change it. Just sitting back and whining and complaining or writing a post and riling people up, that's not going to make a difference. Actually going out and doing something about it and showing the world what it maybe should be or what is wrong about it is what's going to make a difference. Communication, like I said, that's what's important. I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm afraid of irrational fears, but I feel like if that's what I have to suffer, then that's what I'm going to have to suffer. But I'm going to do it being strong and showing that you can't break me, and hopefully showing and sharing that strength with others. I want my community in the Rio Grande Valley to know that. And in general, illegal immigrants, Mexicans, because I'm Mexican, for example, in this context, that if you want to fight the fight for being an American, you need to realize what that means. And you have to realize that you want to be part of this country, and that means following its rules and its laws. And if you don't like them, then following a path to making different rules and laws and changing them. And I would love for people who are undocumented to go out and wave the American flag and say, I'm an American, like, I want to be here, instead of, you know, chanting in Spanish, waving a Mexican flag, because what you're sending the message is not the message that they're really trying to say. That's the whole point of communication. I feel like the other side don't really understand what the issue is, because we kind of send mixed messages.
Well put. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. To wrap up the interview, just want to see if you would want to share your name with me. If
yes,
not,
of
okay.
course. My name is Marisol Isaguirre Roten, my married name now, and I'm 31.
Oh, you don't have to tell your age. May I have your permission to post the audio?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Thank you so much. If there's ever a time where you want to talk and have another interview, or, you know, talk about this further, I'm happy to sit and talk with you about it. And put it up online and see where it takes us, because I'm hoping that this reaches policymakers or people who have opposing positions and learn from it.
Right.
And I know I've learned, and I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Girl. I mean, I think that's why communication is...